And I'd like to now ask Jackie to come up, and she's going to share with us what she got from this retreat, how she was blessed. So,
hi, my name is Jackie. I haven't formally met everyone in the church yet, but I'm Jackie now. You guys know me. I was really nervous when Pastor Steve asked me to come up. I kind of got a taste of it at the women's retreat. I shared my testimony of what happened over the weekend. I had gone into the women's retreat thinking that God was going to tend to my heart and teach me how to guard my heart. Because I'm now coming out of a season that I learned that I was not guarding my heart. And I opened my heart to anyone and everyone that I thought deserved that. The only person who deserves your open heart is Christ. He wants your heart. He wants to love you. And I thought, he's going to teach me that. I was completely wrong. Paula had said on the retreat that Jesus will surpass your thoughts. And he 100% surpassed mine. He blessed me with more than I thought that I would ever received from that retreat. I had shared with the women that for the past year, I've been struggling with smoking weed. It is definitely something that I never thought I'd get into. Throughout high school, I never touched any substance. I had got introduced to it in college. And the Lord removed me from that area. Thank God he removed me from college. And I continued with it. I have thought I'm strong enough to deal with this. It's not something I need to give up necessarily because it wasn't leading me deeper within sin. I was actually talking about God so much when I was reflecting on it now. I think God was protecting me at my lowest point when he knew the enemy would attack me the most. He was guarding me and he was truly having mercy on my soul because he shouldn't be protecting me when I'm within sin and not glorifying the Lord. I had prayed with Mary over it. I needed to confess. That's what I needed to do to truly be free from that chain of mine, that chain of numbing myself with a substance, of relying on that and not going to the Word. The week leading up to the retreat, I actually felt the worst I've ever felt. I wasn't reading my Bible. I was doing a psalm a day, and I completely fell off of that, and I was so confused. I kept saying, God, why? And he showed me why at the retreat. I prayed with Mary, and she led me to Romans 8, the free from indwelling sin. Verses 1 and 2 say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. God saved me. During the retreat, he relieved me from that soul-eating habit I had of thinking that I could dwell within sin and love Christ at the same time. I cannot. You can't. And I told the women, I didn't know who needed to hear this portion of my testimony. Who needs to let go of a portion of sin in their life? But you will feel the weight off of your chest. I was telling the woman at the retreat right after I had confessed that to Mary, I went to go throw up. I vomited like 4 times. I kept saying in my head, I don't want it, I hate it. I threw up right after. I prayed with a group of women and I threw up right after. God was just removing that from my body and freeing me from it. And I now don't want it. I don't need it. It's something that I do not need to love. It's not something I need in my life. The only thing you need is the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God being within this will save you, will cleanse you day to day. There is nothing else in this world that can give you that sense of freedom. No drug, no person, no love, no relationship that can give you that sensation that God gives you, that wrapping, that warm love that he can give you. He will put everything in your face, even if you are ashamed of it. I would hide it. I wouldn't talk to Pastor Steve about it. I wouldn't talk to anyone within the church to get help from it. You need to talk about it. You need to come to someone within the church to open that portion of you. Because if you aren't able to do it with a person within the church, how are you going to able to do it to God? How are you able to tell him the truth? This is what I'm struggling with, Lord. Please cleanse me. you're unable to do it with someone, you're unable to do it with God. You just need to open your heart up to a person that's within Christ to get that support, because you can't do it alone. I wasn't able to do it alone. I was trying and I was not able until I got that help from these wonderful women in this church who just supported me without looking at me with eyes of disgust. They didn't judge me. I didn't feel shamed, and I don't feel ashamed now, because through that sin, I'm now glorifying the Lord by giving it up, by saying I'm strong enough to stand within God. And I truly feel like everyone in this church is able to do that. Everyone is able to say no to the enemy, to say no to his temptations, and to just keep your eyes on the Lord. So I encourage everyone, confess your sin to someone. It could be your mom, your sister, a friend. Confess it and be honest with it, because that's freeing. I feel so much better now that I confess. So that's my testimony. That's what God says.
Dude, let's pray. Father, I thank you for her. This is what you do, Lord.
This is what you do. And I thank you, Lord, for, I think of 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, which says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 7 continues, but if you walk in the light, you put all your darkness into the light. If you bring all your ugliness to the light, you can have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sin. Lord, and I just pray for Jackie that you would continue this work, the work that you started in her. Lord, continue it, Lord. Continue it and use it, and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you. All right. We are going through Matthew, and thank you so much, Heather, and thank you so much, Jackie. I think Jackie read my notes today because, wow, Jackie, you knew what was coming. We are in verse 12. This is verse 12. You know, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Jesus hates religion. He spent most of his three-year ministry attacking it, confronting it, and letting people know that he wants relationship. Not religion, but relationship. And when there's a relationship, the Lord asks you questions, not audibly. You'll hear it over time. You'll be able to hear him ask you questions. And that's what he does right here in verse 12. What do you think? What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones, and that's speaking of you, should perish. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, I pray, thank you, Lord, that blood on the cross that purchased us as sons and daughters, and also enables me to declare your word this morning. Besides, even though I'm weak and don't deserve to be here, never have, never will, but your blood has cleansed me and empowers me. I thank you, Lord. Help us with this word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So I'll begin by saying something that's very important that you understand. Jesus loves you. And he's really interested in you. He's interested in you separate, apart, and distinct from anyone else who's in this room. He loves you. Separate and apart and distinct from every other Christian in the world. He's interested in you as a man, as a woman. He's interested in you. He's interested in you separate and distinct from every man, every woman in the entire world, the Bible says. So important that you have your foundation right. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says this. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In Galatians 3:28, it says, you are a son, you're a daughter of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Notice what makes you a son. It's not how good you are, or how good you've been, or how good you want to be. There's nothing there about that. It's not by not being bad enough. I'm a son because I haven't been bad enough to sort of lose that right, or I haven't been bad enough so I can be a son or daughter. No, it says you are a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Faith plus nothing. You can't add to it. This is what the Bible teaches. You're a son, you're a daughter by faith. The Bible says that by faith, that when you make Jesus your Lord, when you make Jesus your Savior, it says this about you. It says this in Ephesians chapter 1. Do we have that? Verse 13. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance. So having believed, having put your faith in God, having made him your Lord, making him your Lord, making him your King means, okay, I'm done trying to do this on my own. You take over, be the King of my life. Every bit of me, you have to take over, Lord. That's what it means to make Jesus your Lord. And it says, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance. And it says in a same chapter in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, God chose you. Now, this is a mystery, but it says, he chose you for adoption by Jesus Christ to himself, because he was forced to, because he had nothing better to do. No, according to the good pleasure of his will, the Bible says. Jesus loves you. He's really interested in you because you're a son, because you're a daughter. He is separate and apart from everyone else in the room. He's interested in you, distinct from every Christian in the world, every person in the world. He's interested in you so much. You ready for this? I hope so. He loves you. He's interested in you so much that you can get up in the middle of this message, leave this room, drive your car to a liquor store. He loves you so much, he will leave everybody else in this room and go with you. He will go to you with, he'll go following you to that liquor store, and he will try to get you back. And you say, but wait a second, what about the person on my left? What about the person on my right? What about this guy who's talking to you? Listen, I don't have answers to those questions. I don't have answers. All I have is this verse which says, What do you think? A man has 100 sheep, and one of them, you, goes astray. Does he not leave behind the 99 and go to the mountains and to seek the one who is straying? He goes with you to the liquor store. Chapter in the book of Luke. It's a parallel passage. There's a few different things going on, but it says this in Luke 4:4. Jesus says, "What man of you or woman of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" It says, in the wilderness. Does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, meaning he leaves the other 99 exposed to danger in the wilderness. And you say, but what about the 99? You can't. What about him? The other? He loves them too. Listen, I'm just reading the verse. It says he leaves the 99 because he loves you so much. He loves you. If you go to the liquor store, get your bottle of scotch, and you leave to go to the house of that man who's always available to you, that woman who's always been available to you in the past, and you have sex with her. You have sex with him. He will follow you to that place. He will follow you. He will follow you there. He will go right inside that place of, with all that ugliness going on, he'll go right in there to get you back. If you leave that place, you leave there, and you go to the drug dealer and buy a bag of pills with the money you were supposed to use to buy food for your kids and pay the electric bill. So they talk about you at Calvary Chapel in the city on Father's Day, but you do it anyway. Jesus follows you there. You say, Pastor Steve, are you crazy? No, I'm just reading a verse here. It says, what do you think? If a man like has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains? What does that mountain represent? It represents the liquor store. It represents that guy, that woman that you go off, who's always available to you. It represents the weed. That's what the mountain of sin is. And so if you go to the, from the man or woman who's always been available to you, to the drug dealer, to the drugs, and then you go to the casino, he's going to follow you there. That's what he does. Calvary Chapel. A politician. And this is, I'm not knocking politicians. In fact, I hope some of you become a God-fearing politician. But a politician is okay if he has 100 voters and one of them leaves the 99 others. He's still going to win the election. But God is not okay with you leaving the 99 others because you're not a voter. I think I'll vote for God today, maybe not tomorrow. No, you are a son. You are a daughter. You are a son, you're a daughter. God will leave all the other sons, all the other daughters, and he will go after you. He will go after you. Now, when you go to adopt a son, when you go to adopt a daughter, you usually pay money in order to do so. It's usually a lot of money. The Bible says that you are a son of God, a daughter of God, by adoption. It says in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, God sent his son to redeem us, meaning you. That word redeem means what? Purchase. It means purchase. that we might receive the adoption as son. He sent his forth his son to redeem you, that you might receive adoption as a son, as a daughter. And he paid a lot. You know, we pay money to adopt kids, a lot of it, by the way, usually. But God paid for, he paid a price for your adoption by his blood, by his own blood. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, that you were redeemed, that means purchased. Oh God, how I help that, I pray that this soaks in, this really hits you. You were purchased with the blood of Christ. You were purchased for adoption as a son, adoption as a brother. So if you leave there, if you leave this place, you get up in the middle of this message. You can get up right now. And you go to the liquor store. He'll follow you there because he paid for you with his blood. If you leave the liquor store and you go to that man's house, that woman's house, he'll go there because he paid with his blood. With his blood. Can you imagine having a son or a daughter who's sentenced to death and you are told that if you're willing to be put on a cross and bleed and die for them, you can purchase their life. Well, you don't have to imagine. It happened. Because of your sin, you were sentenced to death. But Jesus was willing to go to a cross. He bled and died for you. He purchased you back as a son, as a daughter, with his blood. And then he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he will follow you. You leave that man, that woman's house, you just had sex with them, and you go to the drug dealer. He will go there. Why? Because he paid with his blood. If you leave the drug dealer and go to the casino, he'll go there because he paid for you with his blood. You are his. You say, Pastor Steve, please don't, you gotta stop. Don't say these things, because if you do, you're gonna have people who say, someone's gonna hear you and they'll take advantage of the grace of God. They will go off in their sin because they have your permission to do so. Instead, you should tell them, if they go to the liquor store, they may lose the right to be a son. They may lose. They may no longer be a son. If they go to that man, that woman, have sex with them, that they may no longer be a son or a daughter after. If they go to that drug dealer, they may not be a son or daughter after. If they go to that casino, they will no longer be a son or the daughter. But I can't teach that, because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says in chapter 8, verse 35, this is Jesus speaking. He says this, "Now the slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son does remain forever." That's the daughter remains forever. That is talking about you. Remain forever. Your son forever. The Bible says in Galatians 4:7, it says this. It says, "Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." An heir is someone who gets an inheritance. You're no longer a slave, but you're a son. You are a daughter, the Bible says. Now, we quoted John 3:3 last week. It says in John 3:3, "Most assuredly, I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, famous verse, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, He cannot see the kingdom of God. Calvary Chapel, you can't unborn yourself from God any more than you can unborn yourself from your mother. You can't do that. You will always be born from your mother. And if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, because it's about grace, it's not about trying to be good. The Bible says that you can't be unborn from God. Genesis to Revelation, that's what it says. But Steve, I can't get over the fact that someone is going to hear you. And they're going to take advantage of that. And they're going to go sin. You should tell them if they sin bad enough and long enough, they'll no longer be a son. They'll no longer be a daughter. But you're telling me to use fear. You're telling me to use fear to keep people away from sin. Fear does not keep people away from sin. I've been a pastor for 30 years. It does not keep people away from sin. Fear doesn't do that. The Bible says that what keeps people away from sin is, someone shout it out, love. L-O-V-E. It says people stay away from sin because of love. I know some people will hear this message, maybe in this room, and they'll take advantage of grace. I remember what Steve said. He says, I'm gonna go to that bag of weed. Did you hear the testimony? Jesus shouldn't have come to me while I was smoking weed, but he did. And you just see the fruit of that. You just heard the fruit of that. What happens, love keeps people away from sin. I know some people will hear this, what I'm saying, and they're going to go and they're going to take advantage of grace and they're going to go out and sin. That's been happening with some of my sermons for 30 years. And I've been criticized for that. By the way, I'm also criticized for challenging people to a holy life. Pray for me. I need your prayer. But listen, I know some people are going to hear what I'm saying. They will take advantage of grace. They'll go out and sin. But my prayer for you is that some of you will hear what I'm saying, and by the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, which the book of Jeremiah says is like a hammer that crushes hard hearts, that some of you will be so overwhelmed by Jesus leaving every one of us in this room and leaving the person who goes off in the middle of a message. You talk about disrespect. And they go from a liquor store to sex with someone who they're not married to a bag of drugs to a casino, and he'll follow them. And the Bible says, again, we read it in the book of Luke, until he gets them. Until he brings them back. My prayer is that also Ephesians chapter 1, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is who God is. He's the God who saved you. He's the God who saved you with his very blood. He follows you into any kind of madness, sin, ugliness, until he gets you back. Again, verse 12 says, what do you think? Some of you are saying, I think you're out of your mind. It's Jesus speaking. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? My prayer is that you'll be so overwhelmed that God would leave everyone else in this room, including the pastor, and go after you. Be so overwhelmed with love that you'll never go back to sin ever again. Verse 13 says, let's continue, and if he should find it, if the shepherd finds the sheep, and we know from the book of Luke, he finds the sheep. Assuredly, I say to you, whenever it says assuredly, I say to you, what Jesus is saying is, listen carefully, listen really, really, really carefully. He says, assuredly, I say to you, if he finds it, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Now, again, the same thing, people read it, but well, wait, like, the other 99, wait, come on, they're living a whole lot, they never left. Listen, it's what the verse says. It is what the verse says. He rejoices to bring you back. He rejoices. And my prayer is you'll be so overwhelmed that God rejoices over you. He rejoices over you this way, in such a way that you'll love him so much, you'll never go back to sin again. In verse 14, it says this, even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Really interesting word, that word perish. It's the word olathros in the Greek. This is written in Greek. It means to utterly destroy. It means hell. It means eternal judgment. And it says here, once you put your faith in Christ, it's not his will that any of you should perish. And he will go out. And he will find you. And he will bring you back. And my prayer is that you would be so humbled. You'd feel so loved by God that God would actually say that in the Bible. That even if you left this place, you went to a liquor store, a man or a woman who's always been available to you, a drug dealer, a casino, then to the next mountain of sin, the next mountain of sin, the next mountain of sin, that it's not his will for you to utterly perish. And as we already read in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, different version, same truth, though. What man, what woman of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? That is the love of the Lord for you. Going to ask the worship team to come up at this time. If you've been asked to pray, I'm going to ask that you come up at this time as well, and I'm also going to ask all of you to rise for a worship song. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this message of grace, so dangerous, it's so outrageous, it's so scandalous, people have been taking it and burying it, Lord, for 2,000 years, but what you say in your word is what I tell you in secret, go up to a mountaintop and declare it. God, forgive us forgive me for not declaring the exceeding greatness of your grace towards everyone who believes. Lord, I say with David, who declared to in Psalm 71, he says, "My mouth shall tell of your righteousness, Lord, your salvation. I do not know its limits. I do not know its limits." Father, again, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would touch people today. Every man, every woman in this room, that you're interested in them. And that you would leave this place and go running after them. Because you love them so much. Baptize us, Lord, with your love. In Jesus' name. So we're going to be up here during the closing worship song, available to pray. I'll be up here. We began the message with this verse, Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth, the Bible says, Jesus says, the mouth is the overflow of the heart. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, is your King, my King, you take control. I'm giving up all of it. Continues, and you believe in your heart the Lord raised him from the dead. You're saved. You become a son, become a daughter. If you've never done that, the overflow of your heart, the overflow of your heart, making God your Lord, come up. It's actually a prayer, a simple prayer. If you would just like to have a brother or sister pray that you would understand the love of God in this way, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. It's also a prayer for you. It says that you would understand how wide and long, high and deep, it's God's love for you, his salvation for you. If you want a prayer for that you would understand that, come on up as we close the service.